The retail silver market is currently what they would describe in Wall Street parlance as a clusterfuck. Excuse the language, but we're going to call it as it is today because things are wild. A lot going on the retail level, supply chains, refineries where they are overwhelmed. And also, on top of all of that, global premiums continuing to surge, not just China and India anymore. But we will dig into that and a whole lot more because quite an active day in the silver market. And welcome on in. I'm Chris from Arcadia Economics. Glad to have you here. And joined by Brian Kuzmar of Commercial Rare Coins, who has a local gold and silver coin shop in South Florida and on the front lines of ordering things, selling things. I've seen reports the past week, Brian, that the silver purchasing on the retail level, which had seen a lot of sales over the past couple of years, but especially in the past couple of weeks, I've heard it described by Stefan Gleason of MoneyMetals.com, large online dealer, that it is now in excess of COVID levels, when back then it was described as toilet paper at Costco. So anyway, welcome on in, my friend, and welcome on in, everyone watching at home. Glad to be here with you on some more historic times in the gold and silver market. So, Brian, how are you?
I'm
As your
good, sir.
goldfish swims to the left there.
Yeah, definitely gold and a silver one. There's a silver fish too. So.
Okay, we'll see which one goes up more during the call, but you're
We
doing.
will. We will. That's a market indicator is right behind me. So there you go.
So
Yeah,
how's it going now?
it's been crazy. Yeah, absolutely crazy. And ups and downs in the retail public. I think a couple weeks ago I was talking about in that 80, 85, $90 range, we started to see a lot more buyers stepping in. I mean, a lot more buyers and sellers. I mean, we always get the sellers, and the sellers that we get, and I've discussed this many times, and this may be simply my neighborhood and where we live. It may not be the same all over the country, but most of the sellers that we've seen, even today, are people that need money. For example, young gentleman came in today, had to sell part of his stash here for his business to pay employees and other things. So we're not seeing a capitulation from the stacker crowd, but and again, the last couple of weeks I saw more buyers stepping in, but with this $100 plus level, and when it went through 105, all of a sudden the buyers quieted it down. You know, and I think they were waiting to see which direction, because we're like in a whole new chartered jungle somewhere, but. With silver over 100, I think it's starting to make news because we're getting in the silverware people, the people that are scraping up their silver jewelry because they heard it on the news. So yeah, that has been accelerated. People needing money has been accelerated. People that are taking some profit off the table and that have been longtime investors are selling. But I don't see the wholesale liquidation of stackers out there, you know, the percentage of stackers. Yeah, so anyways, I'm sorry.
And hopefully you've been keeping an eye out for that pair of silver cufflinks. You ever buy any of those back?
You're in for the
I'm
cufflinks. You gotta get some Bernanke cufflinks, actually. There you go. Some cufflinks, Bernanke helicopter. So.
Well, you're joking, Bernanke, which of course I encourage and support, but I'm serious. If you do get someone bringing in some nice silver cufflinks, I'd like some of those.
Absolutely. I have to bring you over to the antique store next time you're down here. So we'll go over there again. I'm sure I got some stuff there, maybe.
Brian, what are people doing on the gold side?
We're not seeing that many buyers here for ourselves in gold. We're seeing some sellers, people taking money off the table, and again, people. But you know, all the hardcore stackers again seem to be wanting to hold on to their metals. It's funny. Every customer that comes in, you know, we talk to them, and of course, I'm very opinionated. And most of the time, I'm trying to convince people before they sell to us, hey, hang on to it. It's done me well. I mean, I've got people that have been calling me since $35, $40, $50, silver, $60. You know, a lot of my customers, they call me today and say, Brian, you know, same thing with gold. They say, oh, you know, so thank you so much for explaining that to my wife, or thank you so much, for telling us to keep it. And they'll sell it to me later. So to me, that's good business down the road. And I've been telling people that here too, that we tell a lot of people here not to sell. So I forget where I was going with that, but you, I'm
Okay,
sorry, you're
so
talking.
conditions not overwhelming on the gold side, would you
No,
say?
on gold. On gold, commissions are they're not too terrible. For me and a lot of other people out there, older stackers and older people that have been in the business in the 80s, even up until several years ago and back, we're looking at $35 silver, because there's one thing I want to explain here. At $35 silver, we were selling generic 1 ounce rounds and kilos and 100 ounce bars, maybe anywhere from spot as low as maybe a spot from $1.50 to spot plus $3 or $4. And during the COVID crisis, as you remember, there was a shortage of so many products that simple things like 100 ounce bars and generic bars were selling for spot plus six and seven. Silver Eagles were as high as what, 12, 15, 18. Some sites were getting $18 over for them. But anyway, prices were so cheap for so long at $35 and $40 and $50 silver, but now silver's double that. So, I mean, people have to expect that, the premium is going to be higher than it used to be. We just got to get used to it. And it's even hard for me to look at that because I'm so used to selling Silver Eagles at $4 and $5 on the average over the last 20 years. Spot plus $3 or $4, $5 maybe. I'm so used to selling, 100 ounce bars at spot plus $2. Even up to that $40 and $50 range, I wasn't changing my price structure at all. I was making the same amount of money. But, the price has doubled. And I had to recently double the amount of money that I'm making for that exact reason. I'm going to go to percentages now. But, and the strange thing, too, is, and this is going to be a big problem across the industry, first off, is that versus 3 years ago, I mean, with $2,000 gold, we're almost nearing that $6,000 mark. When gold was, what was that, 2, 3 years ago or something like that, maybe, or maybe a little bit longer, was sub
Too long
2,000.
ago.
Was it? Yeah, it doesn't seem that. Well, it all seems a blur to me. But gold, and we were making $60, $70, $80 an ounce. Gold is almost three times that amount, and you can't make $60 or $70 to $80 an ounce and lay out that kind of money. If you know what I'm talking about, we used to lay out $2,000 for an ounce and make $60, $100, or something like that. Now we're laying out almost $6,000 or over, well over $5,000, like I said, for that same amount of metal. Now for the small guys, it makes it much more difficult because they're going to run through their income pretty fast. The smaller LCSs are going to run through their income pretty fast. So the small guys rely on the bigger guys to buy their stuff, their excess inventory, the larger wholesale buyers that retail stackers don't see. They're in the background. They don't sell to retail stackers. They don't sell to, they're not APMEX, they're not JM, they're not SD. They're again, they're in the background selling to those kind of guys. That's the people I'm talking about. But small LCSs have to rely on them for instant funds. When they start buying deals that are bigger than what they got, they've got to kind of get things rolling. So when that funding stops, and the problem right now we're seeing is that, for example, Metal Ore, we just got a letter from Metal Ore, and we've been doing scrap with Metal Ore for years and years. As many know, I haven't been able to send Metal Ore silver for about a year now. They've just, for many reasons we've discussed it, but they just sent a letter saying that they suspended gold taking in gold for 10 days, which blew my mind. I'm in new territory, and also a new policy they're going to do is they are no longer going to hedge or no longer going to let you lock in your gold. All right, here's the implications of that. All right, these refiners, Metal Ore, and these other refiners were kind of acting like banks in a way. You know what I'm saying? They were giving LCSs and even the large institutional wholesale buyers the ability to take in a large amount of gold, send it in, and as soon as Metal Ore or SI or whoever would check in that metal, they would do a rough test on it, and then they would say, okay, we'll front you so much money on that ahead of time. How much do you want? Or you want a hedge or something like that? And it's called a hedge. So, of course, the big metal guys and the LCSs, the smaller guys, are going to take that money up front because it's working capital. You got to get it back out there real quick. Well, the kicker is, again, Metal Ore just said, we're not going to lock you in anymore until the metal has been fully melted and fully done. And this could take, it takes 7 to 10 days to fully melt and process lots. So now, all these guys getting in huge amounts of gold and silver, if they don't have extra money to hold on to that stuff, they're going to wait 7 to 10 days for their lots to get done. It's a nightmare, really, for a lot of people out there. And it's not just the LCSs. This is what I'm trying to explain to everybody. This is a infrastructure failure at its greatest. I don't think anybody anticipated gold and silver prices, I mean, really to kind of do what they're doing. I mean, again, maybe in a way we were all hopeful, but it's like you wake up to a whole different dream every day when you're seeing these prices. It's like in a, you know, in a different universe. I don't think that the industry really processed this ahead of time. You know what I'm saying? Because again, you got your two, you got Asai. There's only two LBMA and CME COMEX rated makers out there. Asai on silver and gold, and Metalor on silver and gold. So, and where is all this silver and gold going? It's not going to retail buyers in the United States. We may feel like we're big and important, you know, LCSs and stackers and retail, but we're, you know, we're this big in the big pool of silver in the silver world out there. So all these bars that, with Metalor and Asai backed up, the only two LBMA CME rated refiners in the entire country, they are backed up out the door. Again, Metalor hasn't taken, they're here to get me, Chris. Metalor, sorry about that, has, again, not taken in silver for a year, just announced that they're going to 10-day hold. We're not taking any new metal for gold. And this is a major company, you know, Switzerland, Japan own. And that, again, silver, they're not buying. Asai is still chugging along, but they're not taking any new customers. So there's your bottleneck right there. There's your bottleneck with this stuff. But it's an infrastructure failure. And add to that infrastructure failure that all these companies are now having to buy, you know, the same product they bought 2 or 3 years ago, that same ounce, it costs them 3 and 4 times more. Have they raised the ability, you know, they go to banks to borrow this money too. They have to borrow this money to loan to dealers who are locking in their gold and silver lots. So my understanding is that hedging really hurt Metalor with silver prices going up is one of the reasons they stopped buying silver. That may not, and they're probably backed up as well. But it's real telling when Metalor says we're not hedging and we're not going to lock in prices until product is done. Tells me two things, is that hedging costs are out of hand for them, and that that, you know, money might be running out too as well. And that happened to Metalor last year. Towards the end of the year, they had to delay payments almost out 2 or 3 weeks because they had run through their credit line. And again, people envision these refiners as big money houses and they can crank money out like the Fed. No, they got to go get their money from somewhere. And that money is basically being cut off right now from the gold, from the retail gold market in the United States. But again, two refiners. Here's the other thing too, is people ask me, well, Brian, what about all the other refiners, all right? And I call these are retail refiners. There's only two real refiners in the United States. And this is not an insult to all the other guys out there that do refining, but there's only two real refiners in the United States, and they produce the bars that are wanted. COMEX LBMA rated bars. Industry wanted by investment, probably flying out to China, COMEX, wherever, ETFs. And here's the other thing too, is people say, well, why don't they just go buy Englehart bars or bars from Scottsdale or industry and COMEX and these other places, they are not going to buy bars that they're not 1,000% certain are great. You know what I mean? Perfect. And that is why you've only got two people. You got LBMA, you got COMEX, and I mean, you got Asai, and you got Metalor. And there, and every other refiner in the country, whether they tell you this or not, they sell their excess to those guys. They may not say that, but they do, because again, if you can't retail, if you're a retail refiner that makes retail bars with Indians and all kinds of pretty shit on them, that's not what is being bought right now. You know what I mean? What's being bought right now is 1,000-ounce bars that are needed by industry. So you've got a huge glut of all these bars from all these different generic mints and these artisanal mints and stuff like that that retail's not buying right now. So they're floating out there. You can't push it through the system. And even the guys that make those bars can't push it through the system. They're backed up as well. Oh.
Where is specifically is that silver held? Is the dealers hold it, or you've described, and you and I have been talking for months about the backlog? Where specifically is it? Who is in ownership of that right now?
Well, of the silver that's out there, well,
the silver that's being sold back that is creating the backlog. Are the dealers holding it, or is it actually refiners?
Right now, I'm holding the bag on a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm the bag man, I guess, the money holder or something. I mean, this could be good or bad for me, but you know what? The problem again is I'm a business. I'm not a holder. I have to constantly have cash flow. I'm constantly got to move stuff in and out, you know. So I mean, we're not just selling silver, we're buying back silver and selling silver and buying back silver and buying. This is really bad for the industry in general. Even the big boys out there are going to suffer from this. By the way, I have noticed that yesterday, the first time in my life ever, I've had to tell people, I'm sorry, we're not buying today. And that actually happened this week. I'm sorry, we're not. I've never done that. I mean, it's counter to my soul. I'm a businessman. And I had to turn silver away because I had no place to go through it. And I knew that I got to be careful. I can't burn through my cash flow. You know what I'm saying? Nice to sit here and say, Brian, you should have bought it all. But what am I going to run a business on? What am I going to pay employees with? What am I going to pay rent with? What am I going to start? I mean, it'd be great if the landlord and all my the people that I have to pay and my employees would just take silver. But, you know, so this is something that every dealer in the country has had to deal with. The LCS to the big dealers. This bottleneck, again, it's a complete, you said the word, Art, it's a complete fuck up of infrastructure in this country. Financing and processing metal. Now, I don't think it's a purposeful screw up, you know what I mean? But it definitely, this is a fuck up, big time. And honestly, too, I don't think it's going to hurt us. I think it'll, if anything, it'll exasperate the situation with the lack of metal that needs to go through. But again, you got two funnels right here, and those funnels are clogged up right now in the U.S., and you got all that product that needs to be made into 1,000-ounce bars for industry and COMEX and investment. And again, that here in this country, that funnel is like small. Now, what blows my mind is they don't go to some other mints, even if they're smaller, the LBMA and the COMEX. This blows my mind. Why hasn't this happened? What, you know, why haven't they gone to some other small mints that can qualify to process metal and say, hey, you know, we'll allow you to put our CME stamp on there, their LBMA, our LBMA stamp. I know there's requirements. For example, you know, if you want an LBMA stamp on your bars, it's a $10,000 per year membership, so it's pretty expensive. Plus, they have certain qualities that you have to meet. But there's your bottleneck right there. Industries and investment only wanting to buy these two types of bars, and they're the biggest buyers out there, not the retail people.
So, Brian, why aren't the dealers of all the metal they're buying, you guys are buying back, how come more of that can't be resold to the public, especially if the buying levels are elevated? How much of that is going back to customers in the secondary market versus... couldn't that fill some of the demand rather than it sitting there at a refinery waiting line?
The FOMO moment in the retail public could absolutely just strip everything and almost like a reversal, just suck everything back in like that. All right. So, I mean, and we started to see that at $80, $90 silver when everyone was talking about it. But, you know, again, it blew through the $100 level and the buyers kind of tapered off a little bit. You know, we still got our consistent buyers and people that believe it's going to 150.
But I mean, the silver that you're buying back, is that right, all just waiting at the refinery, or does some, do you?
Oh, me? No.
Some people come in and say, hey, I just want the cheapest per ounce, and you sell whatever you just bought back from a guy an hour earlier. Does that happen, or is it all going to the refiner?
It's pretty much all going to the refiner or any other, anything that I don't need needs to go to a refiner somewhere else. Now, here's
why
the problem.
Aren't you selling more of that back to customers? Are they requesting they want their 2026 Eagles, or why is that not being sold back to the public when demand picks up?
Well, because the despite there's such a small amount of Americans that own silver. I've been saying that for a long time. I mean, stackers represent true stackers and people that watch your videos. You know, watch my videos and read stuff about silver and buying physical silver. We're like 1% of the population. We still have not seen that FOMO. I started to see a lot more new people walking in, again, at $80 and $90 silver, but over $100 silver, we're in new territory. You know what I mean? There's, you know, Tarzan doesn't know this jungle. You know what I mean? So it's new. And the public just kind of laid off buying this last week, over 100. Public started laying off buying because the public is fickle. You know, the stackers out there are fickle. The hardcore stackers are already bought in. The wealthier people that are learning about gold and silver and wealth preservations, guys like David Bateman who bought in a long time ago, but I'm starting to see more whales come in, but they're price sensitive as too. When they see spikes like this, and again, we haven't ever seen this kind of activity, it frightens them. You know what I mean? Listen, I know that we're going and we're going to be above 100 and we're never going back to sub $100 levels unless we see a 2008 like crash, and it won't happen for long, but I know we're in a reset, and metals have got to be, and I don't want to make predictions, but the public is not as savvy, and they have their feelings too. So, guys will back off buying when they see, again, so if we start to see a fast move up real quick to 120 or something like that, or 125, and then it backs off a little bit, we'll start to see buyers come in. But you know what? 99% of the public is still clueless, hasn't owned gold and silver, and won't. We get another uptick of another, you get another 1 or 2% of the population buying silver. Forget it. I'll be back ordered for 6 months. 1%. I would bet you just another 1% of the population, I would be back ordered for months. Months, retail-wise, retail silver.
Okay. And Brian, I'm wondering if you could comment on the difference. It sounds like what you're seeing versus, and it would make sense. I'm going to play a short clip here from Stefan Gleason of Money Metals, one of the larger online dealers, and just so people can hear what he said a couple days ago.
First of all, I say it's total pandemonium right now in the retail market. And it's pandemonium both on the selling, people selling their gold and particularly silver, but also buying. And we're seeing levels of demand that we have not seen since COVID, and actually exceeding that last month in the last 3 or 4 weeks on the retail side.
So it sounds like you're seeing slightly different conditions than what he's been reporting. Would that be correct?
We are seeing an accelerated accelerated rise in the grandma silver or our silverware or these bars that I bought in 1980 and forgot about. We're not seeing an accelerated group of seasoned stackers selling, people that understand metals. All right, we're just seeing the typical, hey, I saw it on the news, I heard it's way up, we're going to come and sell. And of course they're going to be running in. There's more news out there and more people are talking about silver going up, and it's busy. It is really busy, but I still think we haven't seen anything yet, as far as traffic coming in and out. And again, I just think most of the public doesn't own gold and silver, a small percent do. And if we, when we start to see that those people buying more gold and silver, retail people, another 1% of the public coming in buying retail, I won't have metal to sell more than likely. It's very fickle. I mean, if you notice in the retail market, and I'm kind of thinking about this now, think about over the last, even since COVID, how many times all of a sudden there was no metal, then there is metal, then there's no metal, and then the premiums are high. Even during COVID, I mean, the crazy thing is COVID, $25 silver, right? $30, maybe $35 at the high. I think $35 was the high during the COVID period. And there was a point there where, again, people were paying as high as $18 over for silver eagles. Now, I would never let my customers do that, but and silver bars, 100-ounce silver bars, which are trading at +2 and selling for minus, 15 or 18 now, were selling for +6, and we are paying +1 for them, +2, at $25 and $35 an ounce. I mean, so it's a very fickle market. The retail stacking market, again, is very fickle. It's feast or famine a lot of times.
Okay, and I will mention, as that is happening, we currently have a $129 silver price, if you back out the math on that, in Shanghai. On the Indian MCX exchange, we're up to 133. And that is with a 113 silver price in New York and London. Brian, another thing I was hoping you could comment on, a lot of active commentary going on Twitter these days. I would say there are things that I often disagree with, some which may be real, maybe I'm wrong, but something that was getting passed around was a gentleman who said that he was upset with silver because he bought it, went up, trying to sell it, and he was claiming that nobody could, that the best bid is 30% under spot, which I know you helped price an order for someone, I know about 2 weeks ago, and So as someone who sees this on the front line, what prices can people get, or should they be looking for if they are trying to sell physical silver right now?
It's regionally, I'm in this area right here. It might be different than other places in the country, but there was a point where, you could have called a supplier and said, "Listen, I want to sell, that much silver," and the supplier would say, "I'm sorry, we're not buying right now." And I've had that happen a few times. We even had it happen this week with a couple of our suppliers, where they just said, and the primary reason is the price had moved so fast, Chris, that they had to reprice their product and figure out how to hedge. And there was, I mean, again, the technicalities of doing this is much more complex than what, these large vendors that hold huge amounts of gold and silver to sell to guys like me, not to the public, but, the back end guys. They've got to hedge themselves, number one. They've got to pay for financing. They've got to, so these guys, basically, when you get such a big climb like that, they've got to sit there and refigure everything. They got to say, well, what can we buy product at? What can we sell it? The guys that we're dealing with, the refineries, what are they doing? And the reason that we're seeing silver trade at such a discount is, again, even with the big boys right now, the big buyers out there are, Dillinger Gauge is a big company out there, and they do a lot with dealers, and they're probably one of the largest wholesale and kind of retail kind of guys out there. Not retail, but the wholesale guys out there. And a phone call I recently had with them is, no matter what I send them in silver, it's 5 to 6 weeks to get paid. How do you operate a business like that? It's hard. 5 to 6 weeks of your working capital tied up. And that's one of the large big boys out there. And the other guys out there that people would never even know their names, actually some really big boys out there too, same exact thing. They may be delaying payment. Most of those guys are still doing immediate payment on certain things, but for example, if the big boys say, "Hey, listen, the refiner's telling us we're not taking anything for 10 days," well, guess what? You're not getting anything from them for 10 days. So, and again,
But
I be
what price can people actually, if someone has 1,000 ounces they want to sell right now, what price can they actually
I
get?
saw wholesale levels currently. I'm going to give you wholesale levels because I'm not, afraid to
No,
ask
I don't
that.
want wholesale levels. I want, if someone is
Well, it's going to be
shopping
different across
around,
the
what?
country. I'm watching. It's different across the country depending on what a guy's profit, like what I want to add to my profit. Across the board, it's probably minus $15 on generic products. Triple nine kilos, 100 ounce bars seem to have a little bit better bid if they're COMEX rated 100 ounce bars. Those seem to be in the $10 to $12 range under spot. And again, this is the reason I'm telling my customers to hang on. I am so uncomfortable with quoting these kind of prices because I got to back off a couple bucks for myself here. I can't do this for free. So I mean, if the majors out there quoting me. If I got excess 100 ounce bars that I can't absorb and I need working capital, I got to go to the majors and they tell, "Hey, Brian, we're paying minus $15 back on these." So, and I've got, so I'm not going to buy them from a customer for the same price. I'm going to actually buy them from minus 16, 17, 18, depending on the quantity. I'm going to make $1, $2, and $3 an ounce. Again, I don't, this has got nothing to do with the silver market. It's just a complete breakdown of the infrastructure of refining and the financing of refining and the financing of these dealers out there and hedging. It's a complete breakdown. It's a complete failure. And the direct result is going to be going to your local coin store, going to even a big major and them saying, "Sorry, we're not buying right now. We got to figure things out." I don't want to say, but all of a sudden, liquidity just goes to shit right there. And I never thought in my life I'd ever see lack of liquidity for gold and silver. That's probably the last thing, if you asked me years ago, could you ever imagine not having instant liquidity? I would have told you no. Truth.
So we're not at 30%, but
No.
at least a ballpark estimate of a range of bids, it's about 15 bucks
15
or
for
so
total.
under. Which I think is partly or largely explained by what you said earlier, because the money just can't move quickly enough, which is why we're having the bids
Oh,
that
major
far under
lockup.
spot.
It's locked up. Guys right now are waiting for their lots to get done, and they got to ask themselves, well, can I wait 10 days and do I have enough money to hold out for 10 days and not buy anything because my money's locked up at Metal Ore, for gold? And there's a lot going on out there. Here's a
So
good thing.
here's
Well, I was going to say, I apologize, but here's the good thing, is that guys like myself and a lot of these guys that are in business like this, and these back end big dealers that I know, and some of them really personal, I got good friends that are major dealers. They're smart, they want to do business, and they're going to try to figure out a way to get it done.
Well, that leads into my next question, because it's a fascinating environment where we, so let's look at it like this. If we're at we'll call that 114 in New York, and China is at 129, India's at 133, and if the bids at the dealers are about 15 bucks over, under rather, that means that people are selling metal back around 100 and is trading 30 bucks higher in China and India than just to go for two on this one ahead of the Super Bowl. No, not that one, but yeah, almost 2 weeks ago now, U.S. lawmakers introducing a bill to create 2.5 billion critical minerals stockpile. And again, that's not just silver, but it seems like there's demand. Like at some point, if the U.S. needs silver, do they, I mean, that's what it's like. Partly I'm thinking, gee, there's got to be some way. Do people, is it just logistics, or can, if China, I've heard of Chinese solar panel manufacturers contacting junior miners trying to buy their production at an $8 to $10 premium. So it seems like there's a wide arb on the board here. And you just pointed out that people do find a way. So how do you think some of this gets closed? And are you fueling up our ship? Are we headed east like after the close today or what?
Well, you know, that's you and I talked about that a while back ago, and it's a great question. I mean, why hasn't been, you know, why aren't we loading up barges, you know what I mean, or planes with silver and gold and flying them over there? I'm sure there's some kind of import or export tax and paperwork and all this stuff to be filled out. But, you know, with that big of a difference in price, I mean, that's a question you could probably answer better than I could or Eric could or somebody, but, you know, I can't answer that. I'm surprised. Let me point out one other thing, too, that I think is really important, because I didn't discuss this. We've been discussing what the buy prices are for silver and with the majors, you know, what the bids are for 999. One of the products that's doing really well, which it was always a high premium, and I've never been a big fan of because they were high premiums, is Silver Eagles are trading basically near spot right now. Which tells me there's still an active market for that particular product. Same with some of the sovereign products. And the reason I think Silver Eagles and sovereign products are being close to bid is because they're probably getting melted, because they're known quantities, and the refiners, maybe Metal Ore and those guys are willing to take large quantities of that kind of stuff. I don't know. But here, the strange thing too is, even on 100-ounce bars, when the majors are at minus 15 bucks, they're still like at plus a dollar on the sell side. You know what I mean? So they're not discounting their metal heavily, which is really strange to me, because you would think, well, they got all this extra metal. Wouldn't you discount it heavily, other than 90%, which is you can buy for like $4 or $5 under spot now. But 999, they're still asking spot plus $1, spot plus $2. So, you know, they haven't gone negative on their ass sides, which tells me, and again, it tells me, here's what I'm thinking, is that these big majors and a lot of these big companies out there, they're not making a lot of money. I mean, I don't know. I can't explain these widespreads. You know what I'm saying? It's strange. I'm in brand new territory. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All righty. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, like we're realizing, we are seeing events that have never happened before. And by the way, if you're enjoying this, watching at home, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell so you can stay posted as these things happen. And for example, the kind of nuggets you get here at Arcadia. Brian, I wanted to make sure to ask you about the situation with the U.S. Mint, another topic on Twitter where, you know, the global supply has out, which this is more of a mint issue, and if you could explain to people specifically what happened and what also did not happen there.
Well, what happened was that apparently, and this is not uncommon, the U.S. Mint has a web page for selling their products, and they sell, and what the U.S. Mint does sell a lot of collector products on their website, And someone had gone to their website and they noticed that the U.S. Mint had changed their silver eagles from $80 to $90 to $160 or something like that. Now, I don't know the exact numbers. And they confuse that with the bullion issue, all right, which you cannot buy silver eagles, bullion issues, monster boxes, you know, green tubes. You can't buy silver eagle bullion issue coins directly from the mint. You can only buy them from local dealers. And the local dealers buy them from distributors who buy them from the mint, all right? Those are bullion silver eagles. Everything on the U.S. Mint's website is collector value, all right? So I think what happened is people confuse the, and the mint, people that run the mint, I shouldn't say anything, but they update their pages, and they've had to do it more often with silver going up, you know what I mean, for their commemorative issues. Otherwise, they'd be selling at a loss. And usually, most of the time, when the U.S. Mint has stuff on their collector pages, it's double melt, or it's substantially well more worth than the silver and gold price. So some people had gone out there and assumed that the $90 silver eagle on the Mint's collector website, which is probably a W Mint or a burnished finish, which looks like a BU, or even a BU in a gift holder that they charge way too much money for, was an indication that the U.S. Mint Eagle prices were going to go to $169. So a complete confusion of the Mint's collector products online versus their bullion products. But that got out on Twitter somehow, that the U.S. Mint was raising their silver bullion Eagle prices to $160 per unit. Man, it spread like wildfire out there. And I was kind of blown away because, you know, a lot of people that should, you know, really...
AI guy reports on it, then you...
And then there were some people that kind of... But it kind of tells me that, you know, even people that understand the silver market really well don't quite understand the rare coin and the minting process and the retail. So, which, hey, that's what I'm here for, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why we got you on here today, big boy.
That increase, and you know what the worst part, Chris, is, you know, when I've got some guy out there arguing with me on something I've been doing for 50 years.
You've got some critics on Twitter, Brian. I've seen this.
Well... You know, you can't make it.
Bring your devil's stick with you today. I know you're catching some heat, but braving the perilous silver investing market conditions and bringing the fact and
in the long run, people will always appreciate. Fiction. Yeah, in the long run, I think people will always appreciate if you do your hardest to give them straight information. You know.
Yeah. Well, I've heard you try to talk people out of selling, and I mean, you know, maybe we don't get everything, every detail perfect, but I know that you're not trying to take advantage of people. Brian, if I may slam dunk this one home for you and our fans here today, your fans here today, I'm just the host.
You're the handsome.
I was working on getting my Substack column finished up today, and I basically had it written, and then I always have all these tabs up, as you can see. So I was like, well, there's one more I wanted to go through and extended the process because there's quite a bit in here, which I will just give as a brief snippet of today. If you go to the goldandsilverdaily.substack.com later, you can see the full write-up. But some wild things that Bloomberg is reporting here, some of which you touched on. Silver's rallies leaving banks and refiners scrambling to meet unprecedented demand from retail investors, with metal jumping by around a third. Investors in countries such as Turkey and India, because this isn't just US, China, or India, but here Turkey are willing to pay premiums. And let's go through a few of these highlights. From Chinese aunties queuing in Shenzhen markets to out-of-stock Turkish refineries and a Korea mint offer that sold out within an hour. It's leaving banks, refiners scrambling. We see here, this is a good one. And China was an early epicenter of consumer frenzy for silver coins and bars, but prices setting records. The craze is spreading. Again, we were talking about how China was on the low side before the premium surged right around Christmas. Here is Firat Sekerki from Dubai saying highest demand he's ever seen. Most refineries in Turkey have been out of stock for the 10 and 100 ounce bars for the past 10 days. And now retail investors, they got a $9 premium in Turkey. Here we see Indian prices See that spike there again.
Yeah.
But it gets better. That's prompting global banks to prioritize shipments to the country and region. They're talking about Turkey and other areas across the Middle East where premiums are elevated. But here was in an article full of haymakers, resulting in less metal reaching India and leaving demand there unmet, according to two dealers. Again, this is where India, where they had a shortage back in October, which also kicked London's teeth in for them.
Right.
And short squeeze last October showed how supply constraints quickly can go global, especially for less liquid metal but like silver. And check this out, Brian. Investor demand for silver is now even higher in India than it was in October when they went into a shortage. And now we don't have China able to bail out London if they get on the low side again, which I would guess is a matter of time. And here we go. The company's silver doré imports more than doubled between October and December of last year, but it's struggling to keep up with the domestic demand. And you'll love this part. Also getting unusual requests to refine metal for customers in South Korea, UAE, Vietnam, and Malaysia. So they could supply 25% more coins and bars if they could get it, but the market would absorb it according to them. This also touched on what you several things you mentioned. Doesn't make sense for refiners to ramp up production and invest in new lines because they have little visibility on where demand is headed. So it's really a bit of a mess.
Absolutely.
Squeeze in October also depleted inventories, such as Shanghai Futures Exchange, that have now fallen again to where they were after the crunch in October. Brian, would you care to venture a guess how many ounces of silver are backing up the Shanghai Futures Exchange and the Shanghai Gold Exchange, the two main warehouses for China? How much metal do you think is in there?
Dude, I'm just a poor old country coin dealer trying to eke out a living in the big city. So
36
that's
million backing up China, which is actually about one-sixth of the LBMA's free float, which was already low enough to lead them into issues. They made a partial recovery in China in early December, but now back to below where they were ahead of the crunch in October. And silver prices in Shanghai spiked even after, and I know this is another one that people have been confused about. That's even after accounting for the 13% value-added income tax. And buyers in South Korea last week snatched up 1 kilogram bars less than an hour. Singaporeans, they're waiting out in the cold for 90 minutes to get their hands on the metal. And let's see. Here's Metals Focus mentioning that retail physical demand is keeping prices high. And I would remind people that we saw a lot of selling on retail in the past couple of years. So if we're really getting into a wave of buying and you flip that in a market that's already a deficit, and then add on that you have the circus between Trump and the Fed, and that we're theoretically even a month closer now. 5 years closer, depending on when you mark from, to Trump getting his pick in for the Fed chair. And saw a note, CNBC says he's getting close. Fed futures pricing in 225 basis point rate cuts over the next 2 years, while Trump, who's about to pick the next Fed chairman, it's at 1% or lower. So I wonder how that will all shake out in the middle of today's marketplace. And Brian, any final comments on
Well,
any of this, which is beyond wild?
what's funny, people, and again, a thought in my head is that people are very nervous about, $100 plus gold and gold going, I mean, silver going up like it has, but nobody seems to be concerned with 5,000 plus gold. It seems like it's just natural. It's going to go there. You know what I
That's
mean? That was going to
5,300 plus gold right
5,300
now,
or
my friend.
6,000. I mean, it's
Last
like
week's news.
a given. And here's the thing is, if we're so confident that gold is going to stay at these levels, and not move too far back, and we're just seeing a future reset, then you have to believe silver is the same thing, even from a GSR rate, that silver is never going to go below these $100 levels. You have to have that complete confidence. And the only way I'd ever see, and again, I'm not saying sub 100, but I think we're just resetting. We're moving into a whole different level. This is not your, and I've said it many times, this is not your grandfather's or your father's bull market from 1980s and 2000. This is a complete different thing. And I've been through both markets, a complete reset. And I don't think gold's ever going to go back to $4,000 or $3,500. So what?
Brian, is it true that you were also there when silver was first invented?
Surely. Boy, now.
I
now,
heard
am
that.
Am I that old? I'm starting
YouTube
to get those jokes
somewhere.
Now. You know, I deserve that because I remember saying that to people years ago when I was your age. So, anyways, here's my feeling is just my opinion. Don't sell into this market unless you absolutely have to, especially with silver right now, especially with these discounts. My opinion, all right? I could be completely wrong, but don't sell into this market. I think we get a lot more leg to go here. You know, my conservative figure, and I'm pretty conservative, you know, and I hit my mark here too. I believe it or not, I kind of hit my mark here, but my conservative figure is $150 an ounce. And again, I could be completely wrong. But, you know, when I start hearing people that are way smarter than me, Michael Oliver and all these guys start talking about $300 silver potential for that and other people, I'm like, my mind is blown. I'm just blown, you know. Maybe I'm just too old for this market. But, yeah, it's crazy times, man. And my
you're not old. You just have a vast wealth of experience.
Experience,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And if you're going to sell your silver anyway, come bring it to Brian is up by Lauderdale by the Sea here in Florida. So hopefully you're getting that. Marcelo's out there getting the boat fueled up. And
yeah, one more thought.
China's not far from your $150 target.
No, and one more thought, too, is what I wanted to mention is I went through this in 1980. In 1980, when silver hit $49, $50 an ounce, thereabouts, the big dealers were discounting 100-ounce bars by 10 bucks. They wouldn't pay more than $4,000 for a 100-ounce bar. How do I know that? Because my father, we lost a 100-ounce bar under a counter somewhere, you know, that got stuffed in somewhere, and we found it, and it had cost $40. And silver was $50 at the time. So, you know, 1980, they were discounting, you know, but the problem with 1980 is there were plenty of refiners, and the only reason they were backed up is because there was a lot of stuff, not like now. I mean, 1980 compared to now, what's coming in, scrap and everything like that, it's 80% more stuff coming in than or more than there is now.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. And again, you, anyone watching at home, if they doing anything gold and silver, 954-493-8811. And also, you can find Brian getting grilled by his critics at Brian, KUSZMAR.
Yes, sir.
And if anybody else finds that he regularly switches the S and the Z every time I try and look him up or find something, that you're not alone there. So thank you, Brian. And
thank you.
Also, quick thank you to First Majestic Silver, who was the sponsor of today's show. And actually, I'm going to pull this back because I was just up at the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference and picked up a couple ounces from their store. This one was pretty snazzy. Keith was up there. Keith seemed quite happy right now, as you could imagine. Here is their Las Vegas coin. And I thought the back of that one was pretty slick. Brian, I did give Keith one of our 10-ounce Arcadia silver bars as a thank you for our relationship going back years ago. And I mean, certainly between their Gatos deal and the silver price, quite good times there where they recently put out their fourth quarter production numbers, which, especially after the acquisition of Gatos, recorded and reported records in just about every silver and silver equivalent production. They're about 2 weeks away from earnings, I believe. Yeah, or 3 weeks away, February 19th. And yeah, just quite stunning between the silver price and producing a lot more of it. So, Brian, they First Majestic Silver will be producing some of the silver that eventually might get to the U.S. Mint and other products that you sell at your store. So, again, appreciate you making some time to do this. Hopefully this helped clear things up on a lot of levels for people watching at home. Hopefully you are celebrating and enjoying. Again, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell and help get the word out there and stay posted with what we are doing here. And with that said, we'll wrap up for now. But thanks so much, and we'll see you again soon.